Today, our wisdom journey brings us to Job 22 through 24. When you're suffering or just need advice, wise words of counsel and encouragement are a blessing. We welcome that from our friends and leaders. But words are helpful only to the extent that they're true to reality and consistent with the Word of God. Job could have used humble friends who offered such comforting words. Stephen called this lesson a saint in the hands of an angry counselor.
Job chapter 22 now begins the third and final cycle of speeches from Job's three counselors. This time, only Eliphaz and Bildad will speak. And here in chapter 22, we're about to listen to Eliphaz deliver one more condemnation of Job. Eliphaz is still angry, by the way, and now he's offended because his supposedly great wisdom has been ignored by Job. You may have heard of the famous sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Well, here you've got a saint in the hands of an angry counselor. Now, perhaps you're in the same position today that Job is in. Your actions have perhaps been misinterpreted. Your motives have been questioned. Maybe you're being condemned, and it's really no fault of your own. Well, if so, this chapter is especially for you. In fact, this chapter is for every believer, frankly, who gives any kind of counsel to someone else. Let's not be Eliphaz. Eliphaz becomes for us an example of how to do it all wrong. Here's how not to give counsel to another individual. And I want to point out four errors of Eliphaz's counsel. The first error he makes is to condemn Job without understanding the context. He says here in verse 2 of chapter 22, "Can a man be profitable to God? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty if you are in the right? Or is it gain to him if you make your ways blameless?" In other words, he's saying, Job, do you think you benefit God in any way? Do you think God even cares about your claim to be godly? I mean, why don't you just look around? Where's the evidence that you even matter to God? Can you imagine this kind of condemning, uncaring counsel given to a suffering man? Well, the truth is, Job is indeed under the watchful care of God as he's being tested. Let me tell you, the angelic world, though invisible, is bending over the balcony, so to speak, watching this great battle take place. Eliphaz is the one who doesn't care about Job. God does. Eliphaz, by the way, cares only about being right. The second error Eliphaz makes in his counsel to Job is that his counsel is based on outward appearances. He asks Job here in verse 5, "Is not your evil abundant?" Now, he's looking merely at Job's outward appearance, and he's concluding he's suffering abundantly because he's sinned abundantly. Again, you and I know from chapter 1 that Job is suffering not because he's in trouble with God, but because he can be trusted by God to remain faithful, even though Satan attacks him. Now, a third error of Eliphaz is that he invents sins that justify Job's punishment. And here's where Eliphaz, kind of goes out on a limb. If Job is being punished for sins, well, where are they? Eliphaz doesn't know. Well, so he's going to make some up. Here in verse 6, he accuses Job of taking advantage of the poor. He claims, "You've exacted pledges of your brothers for nothing and stripped the naked of their clothing." No, he hasn't. There's no time Job's done that. He accuses Job, he makes it up here, that he's turned away from the needy, verse 7. He hadn't done that. He accuses him of mistreating widows and orphans, verse 9, and that's not true either. He even puts words in Job's mouth here in verse 13. But you say, what does God know? He does not see. Job didn't say that. Job's convinced God does see him, and he wants to know why God sees him and doesn't do anything about it. Well, now you got a fourth error here that Eliphaz does in his terrible counsel, and that is he misrepresents God by making a shallow promise. Eliphaz promises Job here that if Job confesses his sin, God's going to remove every problem from Job's life. He says here in verse 28, you will decide on a matter and light will shine on your ways. That's his solution. Confess, Job, and your life is going to be filled with sunshine and flowers. Frankly, many counselors, preachers, make the same claim today. They present Christianity as a quick cure for every problem. Beloved, that's a false gospel. The Bible actually promises that a godly person is going to experience suffering and even persecution, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Becoming a Christian, and maybe you've realized it by now, it didn't make your life less difficult. It made your life more difficult. Job responds now here in chapter 23. He knows he's suffering. He knows God's behind it all. He says here in verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. You see, he's convinced God sees him, but God isn't being fair. He just can't get a fair trial. He says in verse 7, if God will just show up, I'll be acquitted forever, proven innocent. Job then goes on to make this rather amazing statement of faith. Again, here's another one in verse 10. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job believes, I mean, right down to the bottom of his heart, that God has a reason for his suffering, that God is purifying him like refined gold for God's own purposes. He doesn't know what those purposes are. But rather amazingly, here Job is trusting the hand of God. It reminds me of that great hymn of the faith, How Firm a Foundation, written by John Rippon. The lyrics go, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, God says, all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Well, now here in chapter 24, Job catalogs some sins that are all around him. Sins like greed and theft, verse 2, oppression, verse 3, murder and adultery, verses 14 and 15, and more. See, this is a clever answer to Eliphaz. By the way, Job is implying that if God always punished people because of their sin, well, then why are all these sinners going unpunished? I can imagine, you know, that excellent argument only made Eliphaz madder than ever. Frankly, Eliphaz is working on Satan's behalf, not God's. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, we're told. He wants the believer to live under a cloud of guilt and a sense of displeasure from God. How different is the counsel that finds its source in Satan and the kind of counsel that actually comes from God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of specific sin, and when we confess it, he doesn't bring it up again. Satan, on the other hand, constantly throws our sin back in our face. He loves to remind us of sins that have already been confessed and forgiven and no longer need our attention. You know, I've heard it said that the devil is like a dishonest mechanic. Even if he can't find something that needs to be fixed, he'll tell us he did. And as a result, we end up paying for things to be fixed that were never broken. Now, the truth is, beloved, we can all play the role of Eliphaz. As spouses, We can refuse to forgive. As parents, we can constantly remind our children of their failures. As teachers and colleagues, business partners, classmates, we can withhold words of approval and thanks and commendation. Like Eliphaz, we can become angry when people don't buy our counsel. You know, when we're more interested in being right than in bringing hope. Eliphaz here, this angry counselor, brings absolutely no hope to the heart of Job. Which is really sad, by the way, because to this very day, the believer who is on the verge of losing heart often believes that God has forgotten him. But God hasn't. Job says here in verse 23, at this very low moment in his life, that God's eyes are on the ways of his people. He knows where they are. He knows what they're going through. That great hymn written by John Rippon wrote further these wonderful words where God says, "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee. I'll cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." Beloved, even when you're in the dark, even when you don't know which way to turn, even when you're in the hands of an angry counselor, you are ultimately in the hands of your all-wise, ever-loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Well, until our wisdom journey resumes, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Whether you're on the giving or receiving end of needing encouragement, I hope today's lesson has better equipped and encouraged you. Stephen called it a saint in the hands of an angry counselor. Between now and our next lesson, please introduce yourself and share your thoughts and opinions of this wisdom journey. It would encourage us to know how God is using this in your life. Send your email to info@wisdomonline.org. Do that today, then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.